praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." This is the word of God. Heavenly Father, we commit Joseph into your hands. We ask, O Lord, that you use him as a vessel to bring your word to us. And as a congregation, O Lord, we also pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to be receptive to your words and to yield when you nudge us, O Lord. And when we leave here today, Father, let us be changed people. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. Morning once again.
Morning.
My name is Joseph, and I've been asked to share some thoughts with you today. In this season of Advent, I think before I go there, let me just make sure that we got the technical side right. Let's see here, just a moment, bear with me. If we do PC. Okay. I was advised to press F5, and then that does it. I think we're there, right? Okay, here we go. Let's see if this works as well. It does. Fantastic. It's good to have technology around with us. Now, in this season of Advent, as we heard from Pastor Joely, that Advent means the coming. And this is a season that the church traditionally has assigned as a time to especially spend time and focus and remember and prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we're going to spend some time today. I'm going to share with you my thoughts. Once again, this is going to be interactive. I'd like to hear from you as we go along. And so here we are. We got, "He will bring back many of the people of Israel." This is just a scripture from Luke, the part that Sam has just read for us, from verses 16 to 17. "He will bring many of the people of Israel." This is talking about John. Gabriel is speaking to Zechariah about the coming son, John. And he's saying, John will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I think that when Zechariah heard this, Zechariah, a man who was familiar with Scripture, I think this must have been very overwhelming to hear that his son will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. I'm thinking Zechariah might have remembered the prophecy from Malachi, which talks of the forerunner, of somebody coming before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. To do what? To turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. For what purpose? To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this is a fantastic season that we can use to especially focus and reflect on the past work of God, that is, when God came in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem mankind, to focus in the remembrance with thankfulness over that work, but also to look forward to what is coming, that he is coming back again to bring to fullness the kingdom of God. So it's a time to prepare our hearts, a time to search our hearts, a time to be honest with what's going in our hearts as we wait and hope for what God is about to do. Now, to help us with that, we will look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. What do we know about Zechariah and Elizabeth? Now, scholars, Bible scholars, they estimate that the time when Zechariah was visited by angel Gabriel, that there was in the year, circa roughly 76 BC. That's what scholars, those who have done the digging and searching of manuscripts, they estimate it to be thereabouts, 7 to 6 before Christ. And what was the situation? The nation of Israel was under foreign rule. The Romans occupied the land, and the governor there representing Roman authority. So the nation was under foreign rule, and there hadn't been a prophet of national stature in the nation for over 400 years. We also get that from Bible scholars who did some research. There could have been prophecy maybe on an individual level, but on a national stature, the likes of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, there hadn't been. So for over 400 years. And what else do we know? We know that Zechariah, the name Zechariah, means that the Lord remembers. And Elizabeth means the oath of God, the sworn statement of God, the vow of God. And so between these couple, between these two, we can come up with the Lord remembers his oath. The Lord remembers his promise. So that's a fantastic combination. And I don't think it is by accident that he got this and let's find couple out what that with is. These names. And they are without children. And why? Scripture tells us that Elizabeth could not conceive. The couple's personal circumstances, using Elizabeth's own words here, is a disgrace among the people. When you read down, when you continue to read the scriptures, you find that Elizabeth says, when she's talking about a situation, she says, it was a disgrace among the people. She's saying those things when she had finally become pregnant. It was, you could say, a stigma, a burden that Liz was happy to see go away. They were waiting and hoping for an answer to their prayers. They wanted a child, because in that culture, having a child was special. They wanted a child, and they've been praying for that. But looking at the context in which they are living, the situation, the circumstances, the nation, They were also looking forward to a savior. These were people who knew scriptures, and they knew that God had promised the nation that a savior will come. So they are praying for a child, but they are also praying for the salvation of the nation. They both were very old. Old enough that Zechariah, you know, doubted what Angel Gabriel told him. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us whether they were in their 60s or late 50s. But the point here is that when they were looking at themselves, they were thinking in terms of, you know, biology. They were thinking that, well, they've passed that time when a woman could conceive and have a child. And that was a problem. I'm not sure about Zechariah whether that was a problem. I think biologically he could still do things. But for Elizabeth, you know, in the natural sort of look of things, they felt that I don't think this thing is going to happen at all. Even though they had been praying for years, that means they'd been waiting for years. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's open up a little bit here and share some things. How do we experience waiting? What emotions go through in our minds, in our hearts when we wait? Now, waiting varies. You know, it could be a few minutes, 2 days, 2 weeks, waiting for something, even many years, as is the case here with this couple. What things do we go through when we are waiting? How many people here, how many of us have been waiting for something special? Only a few. The rest of you, you have never had to wait for something? All right, well, that's special. Waiting. And it varies depending on who is waiting and how long that waiting is going to be and the circumstances of your waiting. All these things are among factors that sort of affect how you respond, how you react, how you behave in this time of waiting. Now let's hear from you. What emotions go through in your mind for those that have waited for some time, be it days or weeks, you know, if you're waiting on for God to do something for you, something special, you know, what kind of emotions sort of may go through your mind or your heart? Anyone who wants to go for it?
Impatience.
Impatience, right. We can become very impatient. What else?
Doubt.
Doubt, yes. Is this going to happen? You know?
Excitement.
We could be excited about it. I mean, if it's something wonderful, I mean, those that are maybe are waiting for a wedding, you know, it could be a time of excitement, isn't it? Right. What else could go through our minds and hearts? Sorry? Hope. We could be hopeful about it. Anything else?
Anxiety.
Oh. Anxiety. A little bit. Yeah. Stressed about it, a little bit worried about it. These things could happen. Anything else?
Self-doubt.
Self-doubt. Yes. You begin to wonder. Can I really do this? I mean, is this gonna? You know, you begin to wonder about your very being. That's possible when things are not sort of shaping out the way you thought they would. So I have prepared. Let me see if my. I hope it doesn't cheat on me. Let's see. Okay. We got that. Right. Let's see. The human response to waiting. I have come up with sort of two groups, which I want to share with you. And I didn't want to go with positive and negative because it didn't do justice to what I wanted to talk about and to the reality of the situation here. So I said, okay, the first group, I call it, it's a bank. It's a bank you pull off from. So it's the response bank one. And this is what I sort of threw into that bank. Some of you have mentioned these things: joyful, eager, excited, expectant, energized, thankful, peaceful, confident, gracious. And you could do that in a wholeheartedly way or quietly, and you could always be excited, tolerant, long-suffering. These are some of the things that could be going through your heart and your mind as you wait. Now watch the next bank. Now, this is an area where we don't want to be. Doubtful, frustrated, restless, disappointed, distrustful, angry. You talked about being anxious, demotivated, hopeless. Oh, I'm giving up. This is never going to happen. You know, Zechariah, he had got to that point where, is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? He spoke back to Angel Gabriel. You could backslide. You could withdraw. You could become jealous. Things are not happening with me. They're happening with my neighbor. Why is that? You could become bad-tempered, irritable, unpleasant, bitter, downcast. It could be toxic for yourself and for others. You could be grumbling. Now, I want to say that it's not always wrong to respond from bank two. But it's about how you deal with that and how long you stay there. There are places where it's okay to be doubtful. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be restless. It's okay to be disappointed. But you don't want to be toxic. Now, in a deep anguish, I borrowed that from 1 Samuel. And I want us to go there. I want us to go. There's something about learning from people that have worshipped God before us. You know, Abraham waited until at some point they thought, Sarah said, we're going to help God here. We're going to help God. You know, I mean, we've been waiting for years. We're going to help. Why don't you take my maid? And Abraham listened to that, Hagar, and then we got Ishmael. And we know the consequences. We got Job. He waited. Now, some of these things, especially these long ones, God doesn't tell you that, oh, look, it's going to start today, and it's going to end in 2050. You don't get that information. Well, at least looking at what the testimonies from the Bible, things just begin to happen. Though, in the case of Job, we had the benefit of knowing what was happening between God and Lucifer, which was not known to Job. And 7 years it lasted. I want us to go to Hannah, because there's something about Hannah while she was waiting that is special. Let's listen to that. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man from Ramath, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup. No, we could keep going. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, He would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. She made up her mind. That statement, she stood up, she made up her mind. She was going to do something about this waiting. Basically, she had had enough. Now listen to what happened. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair. Now there's a witness. Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Listen, in bitterness of soul, she was drawing from bank two. In bitterness of soul. Now, this bitterness was a driving force. Listen to what he did. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She knew who to turn to. This thing needs to go. This burden needs to go. She made up her mind. And she made a vow saying, "Oh Lord, Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. This was a situation that needed a one-on-one. A soul to soul, spirit to spirit conversation, man to God. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of the wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." We can draw from bank one, but some situations you can draw from bank two. Bring your soul, your spirit before God. And you say, "I'm not letting you go until you see me through. I ain't going anywhere until you solve my situation." Oh, maybe not many of us has been in that situation. Some of us have been in that situation. I say, "God, you are the only one who can deliver me. And I ain't going anywhere until you see me through." Now, that kind of cry, God does not despise. God. That was the human response. Let's see a little bit about God's response. Now, in all our human weaknesses, God is patient with us. You know, when Zechariah began to doubt, and it just blows me what the angel said. He said, "I am Gabriel. I stand before God. In a nutshell, he's saying, my words are not idle. I've come from the highest authority there can ever be. And what I'm telling you is going to happen. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how you think your circumstances are too big for you. But I am coming direct from God, and I am telling you that this is going to happen. I am Gabriel. I stand before God. Zechariah needed to be reminded, because sometimes we get overwhelmed by our circumstances, and we don't even know how to call or pray as we ought to. And so the angel Gabriel reminded Zechariah that he is Gabriel, and he stands before God. And Zechariah was even given help. He said, well, I'm going to help you. You will go and be happy with your wife, and she will become pregnant. But in that happiness, you won't be speaking as a reminder until that child comes out. And so Zechariah went home. He was happy with his wife, and then there was conception. Zechariah couldn't speak is a sign for him, because that was how far he had gone in his situation. He needed a strong reminder. You will not speak until this word is fulfilled. God is patient with us. He empathizes with us. He understands our human weaknesses. He helps us. Oops. He helps us in our weaknesses. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And you see, if you look at Zechariah's situation, he stayed within the community. He maintained a healthy relationship with his family, with his spouse, with Elizabeth. He kept on engaging. He did not withdraw from service. So in waiting, he wasn't waiting idly. He kept on doing the good that he had learned from God. So like Elizabeth and Zechariah, we too are waiting and hoping in prayerful expectation for God to help us in some of our personal matters. Be it whatever it is, you know what's in your life that you want God to fix for you. He'll come through for you. As we remember what God has done for us in the past, Christmas, we also look forward to the coming of the Savior to usher in God's kingdom in his fullness. So we draw near to God to receive help in time of need. Waiting is not idle. It's not foolish either. Let us keep doing the good we have learned from God. And so we find encouragement, direction, and wisdom in God's word. As we remember his work in the past, the breakthroughs he's done for us in the past, and look forward to his promise, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll show up to bring about blessings. His thoughts and timing are far better than ours. And though waiting may mean suffering, we are always better off when we cooperate with God. Three things when waiting. Remember God's work in the past. Remember. We remember and celebrate God's work that helps us through, that comforts us. We anticipate, we expect that God will come through for us. He will bring good news, as Gabriel brought good news to Zechariah. He will surely bring good news. We prepare our hearts. And both of these, remembrance and anticipation, they trigger us to prepare our hearts for our Savior as we meditate on Scripture and as we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to maturity in God. We also pray for others to reconcile with God. And these, they help us make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I'm just going to close with this scripture. That's the scripture that Charles read for us. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. One who will rise to rule over the nations. In him, you and I will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. This is where I want to be. In our waiting, we want to be filled with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, our dear friend, who will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you and worship you that this walk, this journey, we cannot do it alone. We don't have the strength. We don't have what it takes. To worship you, to wait for the fulfillment of your word, especially when it takes years. But he has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And you have given us a faithful friend, a comforter, the revealer of secrets. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And I pray that in this special season of remembering, expecting, and preparing, that we may have our hearts open to the working of the Holy Spirit to shape us to maturity in you, that we may do well, that we may overcome, that we may wait faithfully, joyfully, wholeheartedly, graciously, thankfully, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.